Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Daddy, I promise. I promise I'll turn that game off. I promise that I will stop watching this. I promise I'll be done in a minute and I'll be ready for bed. I promise that I will finish reading or doing my homework. I promise that I will pick up my room. I promise, I promise, I promise. I heard that a lot from both my sons, one more than other, and I won't throw them under the bus since neither one of them were here, but we all have heard that, all of us, and we all have said that, all of us. And I would say, and I say this with all sincerity, that in almost all cases, our intentions were or are good. We really do promise to do these things. We really do promise to fulfill these things, obligations, little or small. We intend to do the right thing. Now, certainly there are some that make a promise with no intentions of fulfilling it. Another part of and another sermon. But for this one, it's about promise. And even though we hear this long, what may be somewhat boring gospel, and even in the epistle that we heard today, it's about promises. It's about not just promises, but a promise. It's about a promise that God made to Abraham. We heard it. We heard it at the beginning of the gospel. We heard how by faith Abraham sojourned in the land of promise. From Genesis chapter 12, we hear about this promise. And those of you who remember way back when you were in Sunday school, or some of you were in a school where you studied scripture, this was probably one of the scriptures or one of the themes that you heard quite a bit about the promises of God. And we hear it throughout scripture, Old Testament, all throughout the Old Testament, are about the promises, or the promise, I should say, of God. And in the New Testament, of course, Paul and Peter and James pick up on this and remind the people about the promise of God. Testament, they're speaking about it in a different way. Because the Old Testament, it was generations. In fact, we heard 42 generations. 42 generations speaking about the promise of God to Abraham. The promise of land. The promise that his descendants would be a nation. Promise that through his descendants, this nation, all the families of the earth would be blessed. This promise that God gave to Abraham, we also see in many other, as I said, of the Old Testament stories. The promise to Noah. The promise to many, through many of the Old Testament prophets. And the prophets their own, in many cases, demise, their own danger, their own demise, stayed focused on this promise. And they preached, they pleaded in some cases with the people about this promise of God. This is the way that Abraham thought about this promise. He said, Paul says, he, meaning Abraham, did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. that is one reason why we read this gospel today, the Sunday before the Nativity. And as we have been preparing for the celebration of his glorious birth, his incarnation as we know it, we take some time and pause today to look back. And we look back all the way to Abraham, because the theme of this is about a promise. The promise that God made to Abraham, that he made and he brought forth, as we hear at the end of this gospel, in the birth of our Lord. And we hear two names of our Lord today. Emmanuel, God is with us, and the name that we often refer to him as Jesus, which means God saves. This is the purpose. This is the fulfillment of the promise that God made to Abraham, that by faith, Abraham believed fully without a lack of trust, as oftentimes we may have if someone continues to make promises to us time and time again that do not come true to us. We as humans oftentimes do what? We don't trust them. We don't trust when they make these promises time and time again and they don't fulfill them. God made a promise to Abraham, and it was 42 generations before that promise was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ. Imagine that. If something is not fulfilled to us within minutes or hours or days or weeks, we lose faith in that person. Or we lose faith that it's going to actually come true for us. 42 generations. And through these generations, we hear about these, we heard about these individuals through these generations. And we know about these individuals that they were imperfect. That at times they stumbled, they fell. David, King, and others that we know about. At times their faith was challenged. At times they wondered if this promise would come true. But indeed it did. And we look all the way back to Abraham. His faith was, as Paul says, unwavering. His faith was resolute. His faith in something that he did not see, he did not touch, he did not feel, he did not grasp in his presence like Simeon did. I have seen your revelation, Simeon says. We read this prayer at every Vespers, and we read it at every churching or blessing of babies. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, because I have seen, I have held in my arms the Lord, the fulfillment of your promise. So why do we read this today? Why do we spend this time? And usually if the deacon's here, we'll read it both Greek and English, but I decided today my voice was too challenging to do it both. But I love reading in Greek, I must say, because you can say those names, they flow so much nicer than they do in English. But why do we do this and take your time up to hear this? So we're reminded always about this promise of God was fulfilled in our Lord and Savior, Jesus. God saves Christ. Emmanuel, God is with us. And so when we make a promise, or when we are promised something, this should remind us, this should be something for each and every one of us as believers in Christ, as followers of Christ, that even though these other promises may never come true for us, or even if we can't fulfill what we promised even with good intentions, that the fulfillment of the promise of God is real and alive for us today, because he gave us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Prince, the Comforter, the one who would be with us, as our Lord said, until the end of the age. And lo, I will be with you until the end. promise is just as real, just as alive for each and every one of us today sitting here. For receiving God in the cave or the manger of our heart. For bringing gifts to Him as the Magi did, and the gift of our obedience. And who do we have as a prime example of obedience, the gift of obedience? None other than Mary, the Theotokos herself, who responded to the words of Gabriel. Let it be done unto me according to your word. A promise, a fulfillment of a promise. A trust in the words and in the promises of God, Mary. And then Joseph, as we see in the icon of the Nativity, pondering is really the image of Joseph there. Wondering, what is it that is happening? What is this mystery? And yet, even with those doubts that he had, and hearing from the angel himself, the angel of the Lord, he said, he will be obedient to his word, and he will take Mary and her child. Protect them, and He will keep them from harm. These are responses that we have right before us. We hear all the time, we know all these, but we need to make it real for us. We need to believe, and we need to apply. This is the second part of the message, just like Abraham did with faith. That was his obedience, his faith, even in the face of bringing his son to be sacrificed. By his faith, he believed. And we hear in the epistle, it's by the faith of all these Old Testament, the Gospel and the New Testament folks in the epistle, that it was by their faith. Even though many of them died, were martyred, were sawn asunder, but it was their faith. Promise of God fulfilled in the incarnation and made alive and present for us here today, ultimately as we receive the Eucharist. So this is why we hear this long and lengthy gospel every Sunday before the incarnation, before the Nativity of Christ. And so the next time, either you make or you hear a promise, think of this promise. This promise is lasting. This promise leads to the greatest gift of all for us, which is eternal life. So may our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, who was born in a cave and lay in a manger for our salvation, strengthen us. Strengthen us so that through our faith, we will, just as Abraham did 42 generations before the birth of our Lord, we too will have that same faith, unwavering faith.